Wall Street takes the sequester in stride.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Wednesday, the 27th of February, and I've got a little Wall Street history for you. Last year, when it looked like we were going to go over the fiscal cliff, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 1,000 points in about a month. 2 years ago, in the lead-up to the debt ceiling debacle, the Dow lost almost 2,000 points in a month. Well, here we are, 2 days away from the latest fiscal deadline in Washington, the sequester, and the Dow is pretty much right where it was a month ago. Alan Sloan is senior editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine, and he joins me now to explain. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so why is Wall Street so unfazed by this latest deadline in Washington?
Because we've seen this show before. It's getting a little stale.
Just in the last few years, you mean? The debt ceiling, the fiscal cliff?
Yeah, it doesn't mean it has no impact. It means it is not the obsession of the market. If you're looking at any market of $20 trillion worth of value, and you have an $85 billion sequester that may or may not actually happen, and that's spread over a year, it's very hard to say that should be the driving factor in the stock and bond market.
But just because we've seen this show before doesn't mean it's not going to have economic consequences. I mean, it does matter when you cut $85 billion out of the federal budget.
Right. If A, it happens, and B, if it really has that big an impact. The thing is, if you were managing money for a living, and you have a million things to worry about, corporate earnings, performance, this, that, should you buy Apple? And now you have the sequester, which is this theoretical thing that's the talk of Washington. It's the talk of the media.
That you can't do anything about.
That you can't do anything about. Well, what are you going to do? So the answer is you wait and see what happens.
Over your years of reporting, have you ever seen a situation like this where we bounce from crisis to crisis to crisis in Washington?
No, this is crazy. And I hate to sound like an apologist for corporate America, because I'm not. But what big corporate America wants is some sort of predictability and stability and knowing what the rules are. Even if they don't like the rules, they at least don't want to have to change them every 10 minutes or every news cycle or every 3 months. Just because stocks aren't going down doesn't mean this craziness hasn't had an impact. It's just that the impact is not obvious.
Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine, thanks as always.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
Well, we'll get a look at quarterly earnings today from Groupon. The Daily Deals company has been on the skids lately and is shifting its approach once again. The site is now allowing consumers to search for the deals they want. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Think Google meets coupons. It's one of the more successful adjustments Groupon has made, says Greg Sterling, tech analyst with Opus Research.
By adding search into this, you know, you're allowing people essentially to express their needs and interests. And so that makes it much more likely that there's going to be a transaction.
Sterling says it's a big improvement over all the Brazilian wax and teeth whitening offers popping up in people's inboxes like a lot of spam. But Forrester research analyst Sucharita Molperu says this shift undercuts the company's value.
You know, there was these limited time offers and, you know, you had to get it now. And there was a flash component. There was a sense of urgency. Now they're just becoming like those deal saver books that the Boy Scouts sell you, you know, and they don't even have a charity angle.
Molperu says Groupon's constantly changing business model shows the limited potential of the daily deal. She says merchants who want to offer coupons are better off going right to customers and skipping the middleman. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Some are calling it a victory for companies that have their content online. Internet service providers, including Comcast, Time Warner, and AT&T, have started sending out warnings this week to users suspected of pirating online content. But critics of the policy say it doesn't go far enough and could be a nightmare for consumers. Gigi Duban reports.
Downloading stuff illegally online? Say hello to Internet Piracy Rehab. Instead of 12 steps, it's 6 warnings. Jill Lesser is executive director for the Center for Copyright Information, the group leading the program. She says a lot of folks who share illegal content don't realize it's wrong.
We are hopeful that the vast majority of people engaging in this behavior will change their behavior when they're informed in a way that's useful.
Useful with tips like how to secure your wireless connection and where to find legal downloads. And if users still don't stop, their internet connection may be slowed dramatically. Or they'll have to watch a 5-minute video on copyright infringement. Benjamin Lennett is policy director for the Open Technology Institute. He warns that content owners can ultimately use this program to cut off users' internet connections.
There is no cost for the content industry to submit as many IP addresses or requests to the ISPs as they want. And this will all happen with very little transparency for the public.
And if a consumer feels wrongly accused, that'll be $35 for an appeal. And only then, Lennett says, does the burden of proof shift from the consumer to the content companies. I'm Gigi Duban from Marketplace.
And finally, sometimes you have to be creative in order to get hired somewhere, and that is exactly what a desperate job seeker named Nick Begley did. According to ABC News, instead of sending out a traditional resume to potential employers, he made his resume into a candy wrapper and wrapped it around a Nestle Crunch bar, and it worked twice. He says he's also had his resume delivered along with a pizza. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.